Well, good morning to everybody. Morning. I've called this message today Alignment, Not Effort. Alignment, Not Effort. And I'm going to start with a reading from Exodus 33, which I'll point out what I feel is the important part of it in terms of connection with what I want to say once I've read it. So, looking at chapter 33, verses 12 to 17. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight.' Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Right, I want you just to think about, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. So I'd like to start with two images that I'd like you to consider. The first one is the police or rescue services trying to get into a locked property as a matter of urgency and needing to break the door down. So try to imagine what that would look like. And the second image is a property owner arriving home and using a door key to open their locked door. In the first example, considerable effort is required to break down the door. In the second example, all that is required is that the key is brought into alignment with the lock on the door, and almost effortlessly, the lock is released and the door is opened. Over the past 3 weeks, I've been reflecting on the importance of alignment rather than effort for living in daily obedience to the Lord. To align is a verb that means to be brought in line with or line up with or to be in agreement with. How often do we find ourselves in a battle with our human nature, trying to force ourselves through sheer effort and determination to change a habitual behavior or attitude? Now, most Christians have enough knowledge of the scriptures to know what their behavior should look like and what thoughts are pleasing to the Lord as they live out their daily lives. From my own experience, I recognize that too much of my Christian walk has been spent exerting maximum effort, trying to ram the metaphorical door down in order to achieve breakthrough on stubborn issues. My marriage was a prime example. I somehow got locked into a mindset of, I just need to try harder. While working on this message, I've been reading a bit, also just sort of as a parallel thing, not connected with this, but reading about the effects of heightened cortisol in our bodies. Cortisol is a hormone produced by the adrenal glands that plays a crucial role in the body's stress responses. In moments of high stress and exertion, the hypothalamus in our brains triggers the release of cortisol from the adrenal glands, which the body then uses to regulate our blood sugar levels and our blood pressure. Now, unfortunately, what was designed as good for our bodies in a pattern of occasional stressors has turned into something as a consequence of chronic stress that really works against us in many unhelpful ways. Now, just out of interest, I know this is a bit of an aside, but these are some of the effects of heightened cortisol in our bodies. Weight gain, high blood pressure, muscle weakness and loss, thinning of bones, skin changes, fatigue, insomnia, increased risk of heart disease, diabetes, digestive issues, anxiety and depression, irritability and mood swings, difficulty concentrating and memory. The primary triggers for excessive cortisol in the body are physical, emotional and psychological stress. Even effort, which can appear good, like running, people that run a lot, working really hard at work or school, or trying hard to improve yourself on self-improvement programs, you know, working hard to be the best version of yourself, all of these pose a risk to us in terms of overloading our systems with cortisol, which then contributes to the health issues that I've just named. Now, it's no secret that we live in an age where people are living on high alert. I see this foremost in children because I work with teenagers every day of the week, and everybody is living in that heightened state of fight or flight. Everybody's exerting maximum effort to deal with whatever it is that they are dealing with their lives, and it isn't healthy. Living out our faith in Christ is not about our effort. The world's way, I will call it Satan's lie, is about achieving what we set out to achieve through our own effort and intelligence. God's way is about our free will decision to align ourselves with His will, like the key sliding into the lock and opening the door. Alignment starts with seeking to know His will. A quick example from both the Old and the New Testament demonstrates that it is God's will that we ask Him for knowledge, understanding, and guidance for living our lives wisely and obediently. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And in James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." The Apostle Paul expresses to the Ephesian church how he prays constantly that they may receive the spirit of wisdom and a full understanding of God's power that will work in their lives as they learn to take hold of it. Ephesians 1, verses 16 to 19 says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power." Now, it's really easy to slip into a belief that obeying God is about following rules and regulations. Moses and Joshua after him struggled with the children of Israel, who seemed more comfortable with an exhausting list of do's and don'ts to follow rather than willingly prioritizing a love relationship with God and learning daily how to turn to Him for all aspects of their lives. Joshua makes it clear that the commandment that needs to be followed is the commandment to love your God. Joshua 22, verse 5 says, "But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, we learn to recognize the sound of the voices of people that we know well. I've got my little grandson now, and we can see in babies as they learn to recognize the voices of their parents and will turn and look in their direction when they hear them speak. But learning to recognize the voices is the outcome of hours and hours of time that baby is spending with those people. Jesus himself says in John 10, verses 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Coming into alignment with God's will requires that we know his voice and we trust the wisdom of his guidance. A couple of Sundays ago, when Linda was leading the worship, we sang several songs that acknowledged God's goodness, our good Father. Knowing him, trusting him, and believing he is good are prerequisites for unlocking his power in our lives. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." While gathering together the scriptures for this message over the past 3 weeks, I was exploring in detail two particular situations. I mean, there are many, many examples, but these two just stood out to me. One is from the New Testament and one is from the Old. And these highlight the success of alignment rather than effort. The first example is that of the woman with the issue of blood, which she had battled with for 12 years. She had gone to numerous doctors and had spent all of her money with no improvement to her condition. And in fact, the condition grew worse. I'll pick up this story in Mark chapter 5, verses 26 to 28, and then separately verse 34. So she had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And then in verse 34, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Now, the effort that she had engaged in for those 12 years looks exactly like what the world would still counsel someone in her situation to do today. Work hard to find the right doctor, pay whatever it costs to access that expertise, do whatever they advise you to do. Think about how that would probably look in terms of daily stress and anxiety for that woman. The hope she must have felt when she found someone new that she thought could possibly help her. The worry she must have carried with her about what it is costing her financially, followed by the utter disappointment when once again there's no improvement and then the cycle repeats. When she comes into alignment with Jesus, both physically and mentally, the miracle happens. Jesus calls her daughter, which is a sign of emotional connection and acceptance, and confirms that it's her faith that has made her well. It is the coming into agreement or alignment with him and believing that he is the key that opens the door to restored health, that indeed opens the door to her peace and healing. My second example comes from the story of Gideon, a weak man from a small tribe who was given a really big task and he couldn't get his head around it. You'll remember that one of the first things the Lord did after Gideon finally agrees to accept the mission that God offers him was to trim Gideon's army down to just a few hundred people. God's plan for Gideon begins with a seriously counterintuitive request. The world says to build a big army and to use lots of weapons if you want to win the war. Not only did God's instructions reduce the size of the army, he asked them to carry trumpets and torches inside of clay pitchers rather than weapons, telling them when and where to blow the trumpets and break the pitchers. When you read the details, it seems almost comical. How ridiculous would these soldiers have appeared to the enemy armed with pots and trumpets? Story can be found in Judges 7. I'll read from verses 17 to 19. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp, and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. When the 300 soldiers blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers to reveal their torches and cried out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon," the enemy, in their confusion, started turning against one another and then ran away. Gideon and his men achieved success through alignment with God's instructions, not through their effort. In Deuteronomy, as Moses is preparing the children of Israel to enter into the promised land, he reminds them that it's not food alone that enables them to live. It's God's word that enables them to live. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." As believers who want to watch God work in and through our lives, we need to understand what it means to be doers of God's words, of these words that proceed from the mouth of the Lord. James speaks on this in chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he is. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Doing is clearly active. An action does require effort. But the doing that we need to concentrate on is the alignment, the lining up with and being in agreement with God's words in the same way as a key lines up with the lock. We are not standing at a door with a battering ram trying to break it down. Knowing his voice, hearing his word, coming into agreement with what he says on a daily basis will open doors to and in his kingdom. The power is in the key. We know that we can be confident that our lives will fulfill the purpose he has set out for us. We're told this in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But our effort should not look like the brute force of emergency service people breaking a door down. Our effort should look and feel like alignment, as in the alignment with God's word and his power, that we will achieve what is set before us. Jesus himself speaks about being yoked together with him. If we look at Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Think back to what I read at the beginning about God promising his presence and his rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In that pairing up of oxen with the yoke, the animals are forced into alignment. They work together and have the compounded strength of numerous animals rather than one animal going it alone. Being yoked with Christ is that alignment that strengthens whatever we do to achieve what he is asking us to achieve. Meditating on his word and coming into agreement with those words through faith will give us life and strength and success in what he's called us and is calling us to do. I'm going to just run through a few scriptures here just to highlight the importance of spending time listening to God speak to us, particularly through his word, and meditating on his word. Psalm 1, 1 to 3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." And the last one is taken from Psalm 119, which is all about reflecting and spending time in God's word. But just to remind, in verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." It's important for us to remember and to be in alignment with the truth that we see in Luke 1:37, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Everything that we need is available to us when we go boldly to his throne of grace, aligning ourselves with his will. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now I just want to finish with a couple of references to the fact that we are given keys to the kingdom. We have power in using the key, and it's not about effort. It's about aligning ourselves with Christ and with his will and with God's word. In Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." And then Matthew 16, verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Keys work through alignment, not effort. Align your heart and will with his each and every day, and watch as kingdom doors open before you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the reality that as we meditate on your promises and on what is true about you, and we come into agreement with that in our lives and each day-to-day situation we find ourselves in, that we will release the power that you have there waiting to be used in our lives. And it's not about us straining and trying harder to be the people that we think you want us to be. It's about being in agreement, lining up with what your word says is true. And like the woman with the issue of blood, claiming the promise, the truth, the healing that you say that you are who you are. We can trust that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you know us by name and that you're teaching us to hear your voice. We pray all of this in your Son's precious name. Amen.